listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
All right, calm down, relax, start breathing. Fuck that shit. You just caught this bitch cheating. While you at work, she was some dude trying to get off. Fuck, slit in her throat. Cut this bitch's head off. Wait, what if there's an explanation for this shit? What? She tripped, fell, landed on his dick? All right, Shady, maybe he's right, Grady. But think about the baby before you get all crazy. Okay, thought about it. Still want to stab her? Grab her by the throat, get her daughter and kidnap her? That's what I did. Be smart. Don't be a retard. You gonna take advice from somebody who slapped D. Barnes? What you say? What's wrong? Didn't think I remember? I'ma kill you, motherfucker. Temper. Mr. Dre, Mr. NWA, Mr. AK coming straight out of Compton. Y'all better make way. How in the fuck you gonna tell this man not to be violent? Cause he don't need to go down the same route that I went. Been there, done that. Oh, fuck it. What am I saying? Shoot them both, Grady. Where's your gun at? Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Test Podcast. Your host, Rod and
Karen. And a lot of his music did not age well.
Eminem?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of... I mean, the Me Too era, I don't know if Eminem would have made it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Although, ironically, he's still one of the most popular rappers. Like, white people love that dude. He sells... Oh, yeah. He always sells well. It's so weird because I feel like black people were always kind of like, he dope, but, you know, he crazy. It's that crazy white boy.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point we were like, all right, that's enough of him, you know. And then, but white people still fuck with that dude, man. Anyway.
Yep, because he white.
I mean, he could rap too. I'm not going to just shit on him like a lot of people
do. No. And that wasn't to shit or anything
.
But a lot of them fuck with him only because he's white.
Oh, maybe. I mean, I think he's dope, but correct. White people just don't. You know, white people not like us. They didn't just like move on to the next thing of like, oh, this is what's cool in hip hop now. They're still like firmly in his camp. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you have to respect his work and what he does. You know, and when I said that, that's not shitting on his work at all. Like you say, with the age and the internet and how everything moves so fast, his music don't like it. Like a lot of his music, I can't even go back and listen to.
Yeah, I feel you. I mean, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. I know I can't really go back, and I want to because I really liked his music back then and back in the day. And I know it's, you know, not woke to say that, but I don't really
give a fuck.
I'm not gonna lie to y'all like most people do. And
I love a lot of problematic shit. Some of it I go, okay, it didn't age well. Some of it I know it didn't age well, but you know what, I'm not woke how after I woke. I still fuck with some very problematic shit.
Yeah, I just also think that it's kind of the hip thing to kind of lie like, this was never popular. Somehow I lived through this era where this guy was the number one rapper and
number one selling gold and platinum,
and no one liked him and I didn't like him, and we all thought he was whack, but that's not the truth. I fucked with Eminem heavy. Like,
me too. Played it on rotation all the time.
I still think that dude was a genius at like lyrics and shit. Like, he used to have so many lines and bars, and then he would mix it in his battle rapping style with like pop culture shit and kind of trick people that weren't really into battle rap and weren't really into lyricism into being a fan of his.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, obviously he was seen as an interloper by a lot of people. If he wasn't co-signed by Dre, he obviously probably never would have made it. But he was seen as this interloper by so many people that I feel like it was an erosion of goodwill towards him. Like, eventually it was just gonna always come to the point where people were like, we black, you're white, shut the fuck up, white boy, get out of hip-hop, you know. But yeah, anyway, I fucked with his music heavy, and I thought a lot of people, you know, and I mean, the thing is, it wasn't some revisionism. People thought he was problematic from jump.
Right.
So this wasn't a thing where I was like, I didn't know it was problematic and I was listening. No, I knew it, but he doesn't, like, to me, it's like, I don't separate him from NWA. I don't separate him from, you know, black rappers that were problematic. They told me selling drugs was how I should get out the hood, or killing somebody for being in a disagreement with me was okay.
Right.
Or made songs that were like pro-rape and homophobic and all of that shit. Like, all of that was in hip hop, and it wasn't just him doing it.
No, it was not.
People just treated it differently when he did it. And I don't mean that in a negative or good way. Some people treated it good, i.e. white people, that would have a problem with any other rapper being too violent but was okay with him.
Correct.
And then same thing with black people that didn't have a problem with violence in their music, but then when he did it, they had a problem. So, you know, it was a complicated, big story, but he was popular as fuck. And you're right, his shit doesn't age well, but I would hazard to guess a lot of that shit doesn't age well for a lot of those rappers.
Right.
But his is just the most, like, noteworthy because he was white and he couldn't really rap about being a gangster that sold drugs and shit. So his shit was, it hasn't aged well in a way that was even outside of the, community norms at the time. So, cause if you think about it, I mean, should selling drugs, killing people, raping people, being violent towards each other, obviously rampant, capitalism and materialism, should that have aged well, quote unquote? It shouldn't really, but everyone was doing it, so it did. Eminem was even outside of that box. So it's like, oh, his shit really didn't age well.
Right, right. And the thing is, I give props to props, dude, you know, because I know a lot of people get into that, you know, hip-hop is some black people shit. Mm-hmm. Nah, you know, hip-hop crosses. Ask people over in Japan and China that fuck the Wu-Tang Clan and all that mm-hmm. shit. So it crosses genre and cultures.
It's going to inspire people. Right. That's not black. And, you know, I think that's just white people. I mean, that's just black people trying to be like white people in a lot of ways.
Right.
Like, because we use our history of being, of having, like, colonialism, like, destroy and hurt our society and turn it into, like, this weird protectionism of, like, nobody outside of black people should be doing what we do or imitating our art or being inspired by our art. And I think that's so short-sighted. And I don't think that's a large representative portion of black people. That's a very small, very vocal part of black people that is like, you know, fuck Bruno Mars and you know, it's like, whatever. They're entitled to their opinions, but nobody really listening to them. Like, they get attention when people bring them up and go, hey man, I don't really agree with what you're saying. That's the only time they get attention.
Right. And also the thing is, for a lot of people, and particularly the music industry, everybody is influenced by everybody's music. So yeah. So when people get "this is ours," once you put something out in the world, it's the world's. And that's something that a lot of people don't understand. Like, once you put it out there,
you can't get it back.
Right. And also, once different people from different cultures get a hold of something, it evolves, it changes, it grows, it morphs, it becomes better sometimes. And I'm okay with that. But I do understand some people, like somebody said, they have this fear of losing the culture. But the thing is, when it comes to loss of culture, a lot of our music was based off of loss of culture. So, you know, it's one of those things where it's sad, but that's just the evolution of it.
I don't think you lose culture by spreading. That's just not my personal belief. You know, I know some people believe the opposite, but that's not, I don't think I don't think you lose it because other people have heard of it. I think it's always evolving and changing, and it's never what it's gonna be years from now. You know, like, there's slang words that meant something 20 years ago that people just don't use anymore. It's like, to me, culture is like throwing a stone in the middle of a pond, and then it sends out waves, and the waves affect things, and anyone in the pond's gonna be affected by it. And so a lot of people's whole thing is like, let's get everyone out of the pond that's not us. But the world is this big ass pond. You don't get to choose. And the thing for me that is just, I've never really been into the cultural appropriation, like, arguments and stuff for the most part. I get that there's some shit that's ridiculous, like, right. like nigger fish and stuff, but.
Correct.
But, like, for the most part, I stay out of that stuff because I know that black people absorb other cultures mm-hmm. and we use it for our own work, and we're inspired by it, and we don't expect anyone to have a problem with it.
Right.
And we also don't really call each other out for that shit. We just have an understanding. And yet when some other culture does it, we like to, like, come down and be like, you got that from black people. Which black people? The ones in Africa? The black people in America? Like, the black people from the islands? Like, it's a lot of different stuff meshing and hitting each other. Everyone wants to make these really stringent, strict rules. And they don't really apply because human beings are messy and not, we're nebulous things. We're not strict rules that just navigate and flow one way to the other. It's not always simple. You know, the way that I've never heard a black person have a problem with Wu-Tang Clan adopting Chinese culture and Asian culture and going over to different places and performing and then inspiring those kids with hip hop and stuff. I've never had, not once in my life have I ever met a black person that had a problem with them. I actually haven't ever met an Asian person that had a problem with them.
Mm-mm.
So not that they don't exist, right. But just it's not, the backlash is not the same. Yet I've met black people that had a problem with like Bruno Mars, or heard black people that had a problem with them, and it's like, you know, that's weird to me that you can make that separation in your mind where it's offensive one way but not the other. So
correct,
you know, that's why I try to stay out of it, because I think a lot of people are so wild with it, you know what I mean? Because if the way I grew up, I would tell you that while kung fu may not be kung fu movies, kung fu, like literally self-defense, it might not be some black shit as far as like we invented this and we did,
right.
We're, as far as like the techniques in the schools that I learned taekwondo when I was a kid. It's not African taekwondo, it's just taekwondo, but that was very much a part of my childhood. You know, those movies, that learning the physical art, all that stuff was part of my culture as far as the things I learned about. But is it my culture? Is it mine? Did we invent that? No. You know, and I think if we extend that empathy and understanding towards other cultures, we wouldn't, you know, and I think there's just certain people that don't participate in that. And so those are the people that I just try not to listen to when it comes to these things, because I'm like, that's not the real experience I had. I had experience where me and my friend Mark played basketball together, and he was Korean, and I was he was Vietnamese, and I was black, and we also watched The Last Dragon and fucking did kung fu together. And there was never this moment of like, you know, I could not picture like 20 years from now somebody, me turning to him and being like, it was fucked up that you liked Wu-Tang Clan, man,
right.
And hip-hop and all this shit, you don't need to be rapping like that. It's like these people haven't met anyone,
right?
All right, anyway, it's the feedback show. We got that got deep for no reason. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, search The Blackout Tips, leave us 5-star reviews, appreciate everybody takes the time out to do that. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and the unofficial sport,
bullet ball
and bullet ball extreme. And today's show is for people who left us feedback. There are many ways to leave us feedback. If this is your first time listening to one of these shows, you can find us by leaving, you can leave us 5-star reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. We love those. We read them on the show. We will read some today. We got plenty of them. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Y'all doing this energy for 2019. Listen, y'all, it's so good. It's so beautiful.
Ain't it dope?
It's keeping me positive, but also like it just kind of, it reminds me like staying positive is being rewarded by positivity, and y'all are surrounding us with so much positivity. It's so dope to log in every Saturday and be like, yo, people left 5-star reviews. I know there's a lot of podcasts out there, they don't ever get no reviews, you know, like we ain't the only people that want reviews,
right?
And I know there's people that go without, so thank you for taking a few minutes out of your time to do that, because mm-hmm. It matters to us. You can also go to theblackguywhotips.com, leave us comments on each episode. We read the comments, and we also have polls on each episode. You can vote in the polls, you can leave comments there. Finally, also you can email us theblackguywhotips@gmail.com, and finally you can leave us voicemails as long as they're 2 minutes or less. 704-557-0186. Leave us voicemails. We'll play them on the show as long as they're, you know, appropriate in 2 minutes or less. That's it. So let's get into the people that, oh, I forgot one more thing you can do. You can give us money. Now this isn't like premium, like you can go premium, which I do suggest you do if you can afford it. Our premium is $15 a month, or it's $150 a year, which comes down to like $12 a month or something. We work hard. There's nobody putting out premium content more than us, period. Especially for, you know, a group of two people, essentially.
Come on. A two-man network.
But there's a lot of stuff on the premium network. And it does have an RSS feed you can upload to your phone with this password protected. I try to change the password every few months, but, you know, some people slip through. But the point being, you can go to theblackguywhotips.com/premium and sign up there and become a premium member. And we are always putting something out. Balls Deep Sports, our sports podcast, where I was saying Dale Demps was getting fired weeks ago, and I was right. It should be called We Be Knowing. Also, we have The Nerd Off, which is a for those who like nerd shows, who like to hear stuff about, you know, comic books, video games, stuff of that nature. We do a show for that. We also have a movie review show called Spoiler Movie Reviews that, you know, we have the free version, but we also have the paid version, which is up to date. The last one we just did was Battle Angel. Mm-hmm. Before that, Lego Movie 2. So you want to hear our thoughts on movies, trailers, things of that nature, you can hear it there. Lip Smacking Good, we talk about food culture. Karen normally does an interview. We talk about, you know, sometimes you guys look on Instagram or Facebook and you go, whoa, what is this? Where'd you eat this at? We talk about those meals, where we ate it at, what we ordered, the places we like to go in Charlotte or other places. It's a real fun show, and we talk about food news and all that stuff, and I really cannot recommend that show enough to you guys. And then Medium Talk, I put a couple on our feed. I try to put something on there every once in a while for you guys to hear, like an example of what it sounds like, our premium stuff, because we think it's pretty quality and
yes, sir.
We work hard on it. So Medium Talk is an interview show. So all that stuff is out there. And there's also a show called Pregame I didn't talk about. It's just me and Justin and sometimes Karen or whoever the guest is talking about just the our week and things we go through and TV and stuff that we're watching. And that's another really fun show. So theblackouttips.com/premium is where you can find all that stuff. You can also just give us money. As I said, this is different than premium. We give people a shout out to give us money. theblackouttips.com, on the right hand side of the front page of the website, there's a donate button. Like, you can donate one time, recurring, whatever it is, any amount, we will shout you out with our church announcement. So thank you so much.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song is for you.
Today's a new day.
New day, new cachet. Dear H, thank you so much for your donation. June, our girl June in Harlem, appreciate you.
Hey, Harlem on the rise.
Brian S is a brand new donator to the show. Baby. Thank you, Brian. I appreciate you. Virginia G, thank you so much. Dana W, thank you, Dana. Our girl Ray Sonny, who is now a writer on a Black Lady Sketch Show, because we know how to pick them. Okay,
come
you know
on.
What I'm saying?
Black, I mean, Yahoo 10 bump is real.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not taking all the credit. Obviously, she's brilliant and whatnot, but I'm just saying. Samuel H.J., thank you so much. Tanya S., appreciate you. Our boy Wonga from Down Under, appreciate you, homie. Tiffany B., Shirley Hwang Esquire, please say the Esquire. Lisa D, thank you so much. Jane M, we appreciate you as well, Jane. Kelly C, thank you so much, Kelly. Ashia B, thank you, Ashia. Lindsay B, who is a brand new recurring donator, thank you, Lindsay.
Mm-hmm.
We appreciate you, okay? You didn't have to do that, but you did. Design T, thank you very much, Design. Jeff F, thank you very much, Jeff. Palmetto Stone Magic, appreciate you.
That sounds like a little city in the middle of nowhere.
Right. Alfonso M, thank you. Celeste M, no relation. My brother Rodney M, also, well, that is a relation to me.
Okay, to you,
so that's
only.
That's an actual relation. Joy M, a lot of M's in a row. Thank you. David C, thank you very much, David. Autumn W, thank you, Autumn. We also got Damian Jackson. Ooh, I am for real. Thank you. Kyle K, not to be confused with Kyle Kuzma. Damian R, thank you very much, Damian. You are brand new. Go to the new members class. We appreciate you, Damian.
Conrad gonna be busy.
Yeah, Conrad got like several new members. I guess it is tax return season. So
come on.
People out here looking out for us, and we appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Play me out.
Sure would hate to see you give up now. People, you look so much better when you smile. Smile for me. Can you just smile for me?
Whatever you're in right now.
Smile for me.
Smile.
Can you just smile for me?
And the people say,
oh, oh, oh.
All right, let's get into these 5-star reviews you guys left us. We are so appreciative of them. My favorite podcast by Shock to Your System, 5 stars obviously, or I wouldn't be reading it. I've been listening to the Blackout Tips for a little over 4 years now, and now that I finally got an iPhone, I can sit back and judge all y'all who haven't left a review.
Judge on!
Shaking my head, looking at y'all. Just shameful. Anyway, Rod and Karen are the best, and always look forward to hearing from them. Yes, join the judgment circle.
Fold your arms and judge now.
Awesomeness, 5 stars by Tay Cross, who says, podcast is full of something of everything and still and well entertaining. Thank you.
Thank you.
We are full of something of everything. You know, I think that's an accurate description. Late to the party says, sitting in the back. took a minute to give you 5 stars you deserve. I might not have gotten my invite to the cookout, but can a brother get a plate? I don't think no black people getting invited, y'all. I hate to say this, but the tide has turned. I mean, who are the non-problematic black people left, right?
I don't know. Was this done to all white party? What's happening here?
I think it did. I think white people are the only one that got the bar low enough to come in. Dear
Nobody Rod, gonna be on time and lit.
And no good food. Dear Rod and Karen, the real sorceress says, keep up the great work. Love you guys. Thank you. They ain't gotta be long, y'all. We just need them 5 stars and some words. The bar is high, 5 stars by JerseyGirl_1999, who says, the Blackout Tips is the first podcast I listen to, and now it's the standard by which I judge other podcasts. Good chemistry, insightful.
Oh,
thank you.
Yes.
I don't mind being the standard. Okay. Step your game up, other podcasts.
Come on.
Cinco Estrellas, 5 stars by BigDaddy209. Now, I don't speak a lot of Spanish, but I believe that means 5 stars. So we will take it, okay? We can be a bilingual podcast.
Come on.
I am 57-year-old guy in Cali who came by your podcast about 2 months now via JL Covan tweet. I'm thoroughly entertained. Thanks, buddy.
Shout out to JL.
Between the humor and the topics, you two guys are thoughtful and passionate insights. Not sure how I didn't know about this sooner, because we black. This podcast has moved up with my top 3 must listens. Keep up your great work. Hey, I'm glad we make it up there.
Yeah, that's the thing about black podcasts. We know what we are. We are well known kind of among groups, and even among the groups, everybody don't know everybody. But a lot of times when it comes to podcasting, we ain't the number one thing pushed in your face most of the time, especially if you go mainstream.
Yeah, if we was white, it'd be different probably.
Come on.
But it's all good. I don't want to trade. I love being black.
I love being black.
Underrated, never duplicated. I got 5 on it.
Ow.
5 stars by Nicole J3, who says, I've been listening to this podcast for a couple of years, and it's about time I put 5 on it. Yeah, that's what's so funny, right? It's like, you can listen to a show for years. Clearly, we doing something right, and
you like
to keep
you around this long.
But it never causes people's mind to be like, this is a 5-star podcast. I should definitely give them their 5 stars. They deserve it. I've not stopped listening. There's so
you
many
ain't
things.
Broke up with us yet.
There's so many things that people like cut off. Like, right.
Right.
People can't watch a TV show for a year or two. People can't, you know, a couple seasons a couple years of a comic book. A bunch of stuff that people just go, I can't do this, you know? and people stick with us and then they forget, like, oh yeah, I should probably give them that 5-star. So thank you for taking the time out to do that.
Thank you.
This is the only podcast that I never take a break from. I get news, comedy, and TV show reviews from 2 people who are objective, considerate, and funny. Rod and Karen help me through my work day. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I would just say for the record, I don't know that I'm objective. I feel like I am biased, but I just try to be honest. Where I can see my biases, because you know what I mean, like I think everybody's a little bit biased, you know what I mean. I don't want to say I'm complete, like, objective really, because I know that entails a lot of different stuff, but you know, I'm biased and I try to be at least self-aware. I try to be self-aware of, like, okay, I'm only fucking with this because it's black, and or I don't like this shit because whatever reason, you know what I mean. I think a lot of people just try to present their opinions as facts, and that's just the end of it. Like, I feel this way, and it's gonna always be this way, and now I can't admit anything is different than what I just said, and I don't know, I just never liked that.
Nope, because you don't grow and evolve as a person.
We also got two new reviews on the Blackout Tips Spoiled Movie Reviews, which we encourage y'all to leave reviews for as well. It's our movie review podcast. We update it once a month with a bunch of new episodes, and we'll see when it gets close to being current. Because I can't get enough, Allegra A says, you listen to the Blackout Tips, you should be listening to the Spoiled Movie Reviews. If you don't listen to the Blackout Tips, what is it like in your world? Wait, I don't want to know. It might involve food that has salt and pepper to taste or something. Change your life and subscribe. Thank you, Allegra.
Thank you.
Speaking of which, Allegra and Mariano will be guests tomorrow on the show. Hopefully you guys are looking forward to that. We had a great time with them last time.
Mm-hmm.
I had to put 5 on it by B. Williker 1, who says Rod and Karen will give you an honest opinion with a black voice. So if that's what you're looking for, that is the review this is the review podcast for you. Love from Detroit, by the way, of Flint, Michigan. Shout out to the 810. Shout out to the 810.
Shout out to the
810. 810. Yeah, and that's the other thing. Like, I feel like for me anyway, the reason I think I would take this time out to promote our Spoiled Movie Reviews, the reason I think our Spoiled Movie Review podcast is different from most other podcasts, whatever race, creed, color people are, is because it's mostly positive. Now I'm not saying that we like bullshit you. If we don't like something, you're gonna know we didn't like it.
Yeah, it's a few in there that we had high expectations and turned around and go, oh, this was some bullshit.
Yeah, but I try, like, we both try to be considerate of opinions outside of ours, and that people have genuine, like, beliefs and shit. We don't make our like, one of the things for me personally, I try not to listen to anybody else's movie review podcast before I see a movie.
Same.
Because I've noticed that the podcasts I listen to where they listen and like, kind of get into the movie, like, discussions and debates back and forth, they spend a lot of time in their reviews going back and forth towards people that I'm not tuning in to listen to. And those people aren't there.
No.
So now you spend the whole time being like, no, it's stupid when people say this and that. Hey, man, that guy's not here. Just tell me your opinion. I want to know what you liked about it. The other thing that really bothers me is a big pet peeve of mine. People that do reviews and they slam a movie or they overly praise a movie or whatever, and then the score at the end does not fucking match up to what they said.
Yeah, match the tone.
Where it's just like, you know, this movie was shitty, it was this, and everything was wrong with it, and these are the flaws in the movie, and this is why it's not good, blah, blah, blah. And then at the end, they're like, 3 out of 5. And you're like, what? You just shitted on this movie for 2 hours. What are you doing?
Right. It should have got no stars the way you were sounding.
Yeah, and then the last pet peeve of mine, this is a big one. I don't like reviews that just turn into, and this is a lot of people's thing, so this is not to say other people can't like this, but I don't like it. Where it's just a pile-on session and everyone's trying to get off the next best, like, gripe or joke and make each other laugh. That's cool, but then once it turns into a snark session, I don't really need there to be a movie for you to do that. You could have just done that with anything, you know? So, sometimes it's kind of disappointing. You listen to a review and you're hoping to get some, like, actual, you know, like, a fair-minded kind of criticism of what's good or bad about the film and vice versa, and instead it's just joke after joke. I think it really started with back in the day, I don't know if y'all remember, I forget the name of this thing. It was like a YouTube series where they would take, like, a movie and then tell you everything that was wrong with the movie.
Mm.
I forgot the name of it. I'm sure you guys, it was very popular. It probably still is, but
I probably see this. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I've heard it before, but I don't remember the name.
Cause now there's a lot of them that do it. It's mm-hmm. like, it used to just be one, but now everybody is, like, doing this. And I think a lot of people kind of turn their reviews into that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, oh, and then the CGI here wasn't perfect. And I mean, how long does it take to get back to Gotham and shit like that, where you're like, oh, this just turned into, like, a snark fest. It's not really a review anymore. And I never wanted to make our show that. So our reviews are more for people that, like, saw the movie, didn't see the movie, or don't care about spoilers, because we spoil the movie, but we also talk about, like, what we like, what we don't like, and stuff like that. Like, keep it simple.
Somebody said cinema scenes.
That's not the one, but that's one of them.
One of them, okay.
It's just that genre. Y'all know what it is now. It's a whole genre.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we got 1 5-star review on Stitcher. Yo, this show is what we need. We is in quotes. First off, it's by Blitz51, 5 stars. First off, this review is a long time coming. I've literally been listening to y'all since day 1. Wow.
You've been around a long time, dog.
Wow, that's like 10 years. This is more than a podcast. This is a movement. Rod and Karen have helped me through two relationships, a marriage and divorce, and a new marriage, a couple of jobs, a stint of unemployment, and finally a great job, not a dream job, but it pays the bills. I recommend your show to everyone. Heck, I got the ex and the current wife listening to y'all. That's what I'm talking about.
Spread the love. We done been around, baby. We done been through a long ass relationship with you.
Like, I might not be with you, but this podcast always will.
We sure will.
They are your country cousins that keep it real. I've literally listened to them grow as both individuals and as a couple. Listening to you both is like having a phone conversation with family back home in the DMV. He put the M in quote, in parentheses. I look forward to many more years of listening. Heck, I'm gonna throw some money at the paid subscriptions too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you both for being real down to earth people. Keep up the great work. Love y'all. Jamel, aka Jay, the official barbecue pit master of the show. Well, all right. I guess we will have a black person now.
Mm-hmm.
That will be on the barbecue pit. So maybe I will show up, get a plate or something.
Come on, you know, the ribs gonna be flames.
It's gonna be me and these white folks.
Yeah, them chicken quarters. Yes, I'm here for it.
I know I won't be allowed here, guys. I'm just joking. Mm-hmm. All right, let's
coleslaw. They're gonna look at you and they're gonna be like, is you the one giving out all these invitations? You can't come here.
All right, let's get into the episodes on the website, theblackguywithtips.com. Podcast episodes. The first one from last week was 1838 Historical Context, which is our feedback show, which got pretty long because we end up talking about history and a bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Deadly Devo says wine and the Walking Dead with a whole bunch of exclamation points, and then Sean says I'm here for Wine and Dead Wednesday. So I briefly mentioned it on the show and people were so excited about it. That's what we did. We drank wine, ate cheese and crackers and salami and Talk Walking Dead.
That salami was delicious.
Brianna says, hi, just wanted to leave a follow-up comment from last week. I am black, LOL. Yeah, well, thank you, Brianna.
Thank you.
You know,
I just made the assumption, but Roger was right. It could have been anybody.
Yeah, I think I know a white Brianna. So I'm not, you know, I just didn't want to assume, that's all.
Yes.
Casey Cologne, Miss CT says, Rod, thanks for being here, but I'm speaking directly to Karen right now.
Hey, baby.
Karen?
Yes.
You brought me to tears. I'm not even done listening to the episode, but I had to tell you the impact your comments left on me. My undergrad was African studies and my graduate thesis is on the Black Lives Matter movement. Mm. And even while I'm studying, I've been so uncomfortable with learning about my history, but you are so right. I have never seen someone lynched. I have never been spat on, and the racism I've experienced has been passive at best, but my ancestors have. My grandmother is still scared to tell me stories about how she grew up and what her life was like. My mother had to tell me about her mother's story because she's still ashamed of it. Sometimes I feel like I can't take another documentary because I can't wake up angry every day, but like you said, the very least I can do is be willing to learn the truth. Black people aren't a monolith. I get it, but I think if there was one truth that would be applicable to the masses, it would be that our ancestors just want us to know what happened. Not everyone feels like they have the ability to protest. Not everyone can be loud about how they oppose the system, because some of us make a living operating in the system that had oppressed us for so long. And I don't think our grandparents and great-grandparents would admonish us for not protesting in the streets, but I think they would be proud of us for learning about the struggles they had to endure. I didn't have time to write in for last week's podcast episodes, and sometimes I feel like I should just skip the feedback episode because none of my opinions will be shared. But listening to this one reminds me, one, the feedback episodes bring all new material, and two, there's always a lesson to be learned. Okay, Rod, welcome back to the conversation. Rod and Karen, thanks for all the commentary, for sharing your insights on the documentary, and for historical context. Love you both. Thank you.
Thank you, baby.
I would say one of the things that stuck out to me, I know you're just talking to Karen, but I did happen to overhear what you said. one of the things that stuck out to me is the idea that they would want us to know, and I think that's so important, because until you really can't understand the attack on our people and our culture until you fathom that so much of history that has like been lost has purposely been lost.
Right.
They don't want us to know, and that was the epiphany for me, is they don't want me to know. And maybe it's the rebellious side of me or whatever, but then it's like, well, now I want to know. Why don't you want me to know this shit? What is it doing? What does me knowing make so dangerous to you now? You know what I mean? Like, why are you so scared of black people that know that their own history. And it's because in America, you can't know your history without knowing how white people en masse have been fucked up.
Come on.
And they don't want you to know that they've been fucked up. They just want to be like, civil rights was granted. Martin Luther King gave his life.
Gave, dog.
Gave his life for our civil rights. He's like a Jesus figure. And now everything's all good. We don't need a Voting Rights Act. We don't, there's no discrimination anymore. You got a black president. They, and I met black people. I've seen and heard black people that to some extent believe it. And I'm not angry with them on some like, it's your fault, but I am angry that they don't challenge themselves to know that that narrative is not true. You cannot trust it, and there's a reason you can't trust it. And I know that it's not their fault, because we've all been molded to be that ignorant in that way. Specifically, so we will say shit like, well, we had a black president, it's post-racial. We, you know, and like I said, you can knock those people, but I'm not trying to knock those black people. I want them to just be like, let me be interested in learning about the history of us in this country and beyond, because it matters and it affects things today.
Right. And to piggyback off of what the person who wrote in was saying, the number one thing about it is that a lot of our family, a lot of us, a lot of black people have a lot of older family members that are still alive today that are in their 70s, 80s, 90s, some might be over 100. Have any of y'all ever asked them about their childhood and their history? Most don't. Most don't actually sit down and listen to old people. I've always been that type of person, and not on purpose, but I used to just sit around and listen to old people talk and tell their stories. I used to sit around and listen to veterans tell their stories about the wars and the things they've been through. And you know, there's nothing that can bring history to life than to have somebody that actually lived and experienced it, and you can look them in their face and you can look them in their eyes and you can see the humanity, and you could see how this shit impacted them and affect them, and a tear sometimes it rolls out of their eyes when they tell you the injustices that were done to them. And that's when it really brings shit to life to me. I know it's a generational thing, but yeah, youth cares nothing about the past. But as you get older, you begin to be more concerned about the past as you get older, because you're like, oh shit, it's fucked up, and there's some shit that happened that I should have been concerned about when I was younger that I just didn't give a fuck about, because I just thought I was gonna live forever, or I just thought this shit didn't impact me. I just thought my grandmama was crazy, or my auntie was crazy, or and shit like that, when they would, you know, do certain things and say certain things because some racist shit happened to them. And because I was raised in the situation, you know, where we was always mixed black and white, I didn't think twice about it, you know. And I bought into the system because nobody put it like this. Roger brought up a good point. I just say, if you have parents that are like, here's the book, nigga, read it, that's one thing. But most of us don't have people in our lives or somebody around us that will do that. Most don't. So whatever the school system feeds you, that's what you learn and that's what you know. So I understand when Roger said you get to the point where I don't blame them, but I hope that a lot of people get to the point where they begin to challenge it and push back on why they believe this shit that was force fed to them.
Yeah, it's like I don't trust anybody that just tells me what to believe.
Right.
You know, I think that's bullshit. You know, I mean, there's some moral things I can understand, but that's kind of what our school system has been for K through 12 or whatever. For most people, it's very much like, here's what you should believe and how you should feel about it. Here's your founding fathers. You should be proud. There should be a pride about them. This is the only facts that are relevant. This nigga chopped down a cherry tree and was so honest he told somebody about it. You know, that kind of shit. And everybody learns these lessons, and it's all propaganda. And there comes an age where your kid is smart enough to decipher some facts, to figure some things out, to put them in context. Somewhere around like late elementary, early middle school, I think, is a good like time to be like, all right, you heard their way, here's some other information. And I can't remember when my mom started. I just remember it was early. I still remember the books, like What Color Was Jesus Before the Mayflower. Like,
see, those are books, truthfully, yeah, I've never read.
And they we went to like an African-American, like I forget the like there was the African, it was at a center or whatever, and we went and we listened to these people like tell these stories, and then there was these books, and it was like, get these books on the way out. And they weren't like hotel books or anything, which, you know, you see at flea markets, you know, but it was just kind of like, hey, you know, black people got here before the Mayflower. Did you know that? And to me, it was like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? Because I'm like, at this age, like, I want to say I must have been like fourth, maybe fifth grade, maybe. It must have been after I had accidentally revealed I was smart and shit. So
accidentally,
you know, it's like, you should be reading this shit, you know? And so I started reading that stuff, and, you know, and it did make me question some things. I don't think my mom intended for me to be, you know, become like an atheist and shit, but, you know, I was like, what color was Jesus? Why is that up for debate? You know, if this person was who he said he is, and we have this fucking book telling us what to believe, why is there two different colors, three different, four different, five different colors of this dude, depending on who you are? What does it say about us as human beings that we would make him our color because we need him to be our color? Anyway, so it was stuff like that that got me kind of started on, like, well, let me read about this stuff. Like, let me read more than just the one paragraph on Harriet Tubman that they put in the book, you know? And so anyway, all that stuff to say, like, there has to come a time where there has to be some intervention, because if not, I also know black people, and this is not, like I said, please don't take this as a diss, because it's not, but I also know black people that just read the textbook and that was it.
I mean,
I know my whole life, and I don't judge people for that. I don't look down on them for that. I don't come at their neck. I never do the, like, listen, brothers, we need to learn and educate. Like, I don't do that shit because I really feel like it's a drag. It doesn't work.
Mm-mm.
It makes people get defensive.
Right.
If they start thinking, you think they're stupid and shit. But at the same time, I do want to have conversations with them and be like, but did you know this? You know what I mean? Like, I see why you look at it this way, but let me tell you why that's some bullshit. You know, if we happen to get in those conversations, I talk to these young dudes when I play ball at the Y on Saturdays, this younger dudes, and we talked about, you know, voting and politics sometimes on the sideline. And one of them was like, I've never voted before. It was a young black man. And I said, well, what kind of things do you care about? And he starts talking about, like, certain issues, and he's like, yeah, nah, I don't think there's anything wrong with people using whatever bathroom they want if they're trans. Like, why do I care? I said, okay, well, that's a political issue.
Mm-hmm.
I said, so your vote, especially in our state, can actually make a difference on that. I said, even if you're not voting for yourself. I said, do you care about, you know, police being able to videotape our deaths but then hide the tape? You know, I said, because that's on the ballot. That was on the ballot. You know, and so you could be killed by the cops and they could say, we don't have to show this video to the public. We're going to just keep it. That is literally a law in North Carolina right now.
Yes, it is.
I said, all this stuff is happening around you and your lack of participation in it isn't stopping it. Now, your participation in opposing it may stop it. I'm not saying it will, but it may stop it. I said, you'll at least be aware. And I never guilt tripped him. I never was like, you're not doing enough, or, you know, you don't care and you should be ashamed of yourself. I didn't even do that. It was just straight up like, if you're interested in this, these things are happening right now and you can have an effect on it.
Correct.
And I think that's kind of how I approach all this shit anyway. You know, it's like, that's what was so funny when we had that whole thing about voting and, you know, people were trying to act like we were guilting folks and no, I'm only talking to a specific set of ignorant people,
right,
who have the facts, who do know better, and still encourage people not to be involved. Those people can always, forever, for the rest of my life, suck my dick. And I will never feel bad about that.
Mm-mm.
Like, I understand, I have empathy for the fact that you're scarred just like I'm scarred, but I've been through the shit too. I'm black in America as well. You don't get to do that and then turn around and try to make people feel bad for wanting folks to vote. That's bullshit. And especially the motherfuckers that talk that shit and then go out to the polls and vote themselves. Oh, so you just posturing for people online. You're a piece of shit. That's horrible. And the same way a white person did it, I wouldn't like it. You being black gives you no protection in my mind for me to be like, oh no, you're a cool person. No. You're a piece of shit. And you should know better. And you should not be telling people that shit. So anyway, but for the most part, like I said, it's not about guilting people. It's not about that. It's making people feel bad. Cause we literally have been robbed of our history in so many ways, and it's a heist that a lot of people are in on. So you have to, like, you know, so it's important to know these things, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, and it is a heist that everybody's in on, knowingly and unknowingly, you know, because a lot of white people are in the heist knowingly and unknowingly themselves, but a lot of black people are in the heist because, like the person was writing was saying, afraid, ashamed, don't want to tell. Well, then you're actually in the heist indirectly because you actually got this knowledge and this wisdom that you're not sharing.
That's what they do to you. It's like being a victim of sexual assault. There's a shame you shouldn't have to carry.
Mm-mm.
But yet we know the real impact from history and from years. The shame attaches itself to the survivor as more so than the people who fucking did it.
Correct.
And so now we have our grandparents and these resources that don't want to tell us about how they went to school and integrated and the struggles they witnessed and the things that they went through, because they have internalized it somehow being their fault. And I think one of the beautiful things I love about this generation of young black people, and especially via social media, is that it has made, whether you like it or not, the myopic scope of social media has encouraged people to have a type of self-confidence and affirmation that has made everyone's story important to them and Correct. To other people. And I wish the generations before us could have had that, just because there's stories that are going to die with them,
right,
that they can never tell people because they felt ashamed and alone. And they felt that, you know, if I tell my kid this, they're going to inherit a lesser than attitude of, well, they wouldn't serve me at the counter. Oh, wow. So if they wouldn't serve you at the counter, then I guess you was just like, that's part of my story too now, and I'm not as good. And that's sad, but that's the trick of white supremacy, that even happened to people.
Right. Like you said, and the thing is, everybody ends up getting into it, whether they want to or not. And I know, for me, that shame part is real, because I think for me, once I started looking at it differently and viewing it differently and started consuming more of my history, I did feel a lot of shame. I felt a lot of sometimes anger, sometimes sadness, because I, you know, it's one of those things where I wish I would have known. But what I realized, you know when the time is right for you, because you know what? For some people in their 20s, they can consume it and keep it going. Everybody's personality is different, and everybody can consume things at different points in their lives. And whenever you're ready to take that step, that's when the time is right for you. You're never too late, you know, because I was like, well, I'm older. I was like, and that's another reason why I pushed back very hard, because I was older, I don't need to learn it, yeah. But I realized, oh, it's a lot of shit I did that I just didn't fucking know. I just did not know. And then I began to be mad and upset. And then, you know, you begin to, and some people actually get mad at people around that actually kept this away from them. Mm-hmm. Whatever, it's like, y'all could have just fucking told me, like, what, like, mm-hmm. like, why didn't y'all inform me, and y'all kept me out here fucking being ignorant?
Well, sometimes they don't know.
Correct. And that's where you have to get to the point where that compassion and that understanding and that empathy and sympathy to the system that they're
in. We've only had like 40-60 years at best of quote-unquote freedom, and that's being extremely generous for black people in America. So you know, that's asking a lot of people to go through that trauma and be healed and educate their children and have them understand their role in things. It's a lot. Like I said, I have empathy for everybody involved. It's not, but you know, and I understand the way that the patterns create and how people respond to it, but you know, that being said, you know, we do a huge disservice by allowing ourselves to either feel or propagate shame attached to something that we did nothing wrong.
Right. And once I understood that, and it takes a while to understand that, because when it comes to it, you always hear sad and nobody knows the trouble I've seen and crying and depression, when in reality, this is not something I started, and this is not something I can end.
Yeah.
And once you understand that, to me, it takes the burden off of you. Where you go, well, then I should be able to consume this without the weight of being responsible for the shit.
Yeah. It's more sad for these motherfuckers to have benefited from it and think nothing's wrong with it, or to be deluded into thinking their ancestors was good slave owners and shit. To me, there's a sadness of the fact that they live a lie and there's no reality attached to them that I refuse to contribute to. Fuck that.
Come
on. Fuck your ancestors. It's like I told my boy, this white dude I was friends with, he was telling me about his granddad, and his granddad was like racist and shit, and it's like, yeah, I had a black girlfriend I brought home, and no, I came home for Thanksgiving and someone told him I had a black girlfriend, I don't know, it was a joke or something, and he got mad and locked himself in the bathroom. And this was like when I had white friends, so probably about 5-6 years ago or something, I don't know however long ago that was. And he was telling the story at the table like it was like a funny story. And so he like was like, hi, you know, I'm a funny person, so he was like thinking I was gonna laugh, and I was like, yeah, that's terrible. And he's like, nah man, it was like, you know, he's racist but he old, man. And I was like, yeah, I don't care. You know who else is old? My grandma. You know what I mean? Like, what the fuck? Like, you know, like there's nothing cute about this story to me. And you know, I remember not too long after that his grandfather died, you know, and everybody was like, you know, oh man, you okay, dog? He's like, because you know, he was sad that his grandfather died. Yeah. And I was like, I ain't got nothing for you. And you know, he's like, well, you know, it's, you know, I said, I understand that's the dude that you got fond memories of, but you told me this dude was a fucking racist last like 2 years ago or whatever. I, like, what you want me to, I'm not mourning him. I, you know, like it's sad that you feel sad, but that's about all I got for you, because to me that's the enemy, you know. And it's like, I can't humanize that dude enough. It's impossible for me to be able to see through that shit. So, you know, that was like a personal experience I had to have with that shit, where it's like, you're not gonna see no tears or hugs or any of this shit coming from me, man. Because the other thing was that he had kind of defended like this dude because he old and shit. I said, man, dog, that's just, he just racist. I don't like, what you want me to do?
Right.
Cause you're not tricking me into feeling bad about this shit. You know, so yeah, it's just crazy. Like, but that's cause, you know, I think a lot of black people would have gone along to get along right there and been like, well, it's sad. That is his granddad. I mean, he might have been racist, but he was old. And I mean, he probably took this nigga's skin or some shit. So it's cool, but it's not cool with me. You know, like, fuck his racist granddad. The end.
Right, because it's deeper than that. It's like, motherfucker, people like that is why folks have to fucking fight to be free. What the fuck are we talking about here?
All right. I'm like, he old now, and he dead. So me saying fuck him ain't gonna change nothing for you or me. Like, I don't care. Like, I, you know, and it wasn't disrespectful. Like, I didn't walk up to him and be like, fuck your granddad. But it was just like, I don't have it in me to fake that type of whatever for you so you can feel comfortable. It's not, no, I know too much. Your granddad could have put water hoses and Rottweilers on people. He could have spit in somebody's food. He could have fucking chose not to serve somebody at a counter. He could have made somebody sit in the back of the bus. He could have moved out when there were black neighbors. Like, there's nothing adorable about Pop-Pop for me, dog. So we just gonna have to agree to disagree on your fucking granddaddy, and that's fine. Like I said, it's not about being the wokest or the most militant. It's just your grandfather's legacy means something totally different to me.
Correct.
And that's just gonna how it's gonna have to be. The poll was, should all the leadership in Virginia scandals resign? Yes, no, or not if Republicans get to take over. Karen? All right, Karen says no. 5% of our audience also says no. Only 5% says no. 34% says yes, they should resign, period.
Yeah, they're not going to.
And then 61% says not if Republicans get to take over.
So you can combine that with the no's.
Yeah, so now that's 66%.
All right.
So, yeah, I think it's, if the reality is Republicans will be getting to take over the leadership of that state, you're not going to find a lot of voters, black, white, or not, that are going to give that up, which is interesting because it's back to the Al Franken shit to me. When it's somebody on your side and you need that seat of that power, it's hard to be moral. Nobody wants to give up the morality then, man, but it's like, what are your morals if they switch? just because it's your fam, just because it's your people. Yeah, and like I said, I just mostly feel bad for the voters, but you know, I would probably be in that 61% where it's like, I think they should resign, but to a point, you know, if I'm being fair, you know, I would feel worse if Republicans got that seat of power, because they resigned and now that state is, you know, a regressive state that's going to switch to, probably, you know, all the shit that happened in North Carolina. The other thing too is they only have one term as governor there, so it'll be over sooner or later for Ralph Northam no matter what. Anyway, RJ Big Pimpin says the bird needs both wings to fly. Sean says Fairfax should resign first. He is the only one at risk of, for impeachment. Then he would be replaced by someone chosen by the governor. I would probably go with Mamie Locke, as she is the one of the high-ranking leaders in the Senate. Then the governor can resign, letting the selected lieutenant governor take office and place a new person in the lieutenant governor seat. That's what I was thinking. It's got to be something like that, right?
Yeah, it's going to be some kind of strategy behind it.
Finally, the AG should resign, and the new governor could then replace the AG, get them all out, but in a manner that doesn't screw people that voted for them. That's what I would love to see in an ideal world. My guess is Northam and the AG will not resign, regardless of the blackface shit. Fairfax, who I believe at this point just should resign. I don't think there's any reason that he should not resign.
Correct.
I don't think he will either, because at the end of the day, these motherfuckers talk a good game, but they don't. I mean, if you get accused of rape twice, you would think you would just want to stand down just for the fact that it's a big distraction, and keeping or not keeping that office doesn't clear your name. It's not like he keeps the office, we go, well, he must not have did it. We're just gonna be like, he did it and wouldn't step down, for those who think he did it. And if he doesn't keep the office, it's not like we're gonna be like, he definitely did it. You know what I mean? I don't know. It just seemed like he should let that shit go. Episode 1839, welcome to the cookout, Michelle Rodriguez. We had two comments. Classic R&B lover says, hi Rod and Karen. I laughed my ass off when I saw that Offset Chris Brown beef floating across my timeline. All I could think was, I know Offset usually sports long cornrows, but does Chris Brown not realize that he is a man? I mean, how can a man who is only known for scrapping with women even think to step to someone who would likely whoop that ass with the quickness? I mean, Chris even showed up with a posse when he got into it with Drake over Rihanna. He has to know a real battle rather than this Twitter nonsense would not end well for him. The world remains in the crazy axis following Bernie, Jill, and non-voters aiding in getting a circus peanut president elected. Yep, darkest timeline. CS Augustus says, I may do another comment, but I had to stop and say this. In the city of the college I went to, the KAs / alumni would march in the yearly Christmas parade with the historical rebel uniforms, fake guns, and rebel flags flowing.
What?
For Christmas. It is horrible. Also, years ago, they had a dog named Nigger as their pet. A guy I knew got into a fight with them about it. Yep, virulent racist, and they don't really care.
That's
why you can't be out here thinking it's just college and blackface, and they just got, no, it's racist. He just happened to get caught. Coon man, that's your name, homie? It's your nickname? Bruh, what are you talking about? And the thing is, when you white, you can just like eject from that shit, like, I was racist and now I'm not. So, give it up.
Right, act like it's night and day.
Yeah. Yeah, that's back when I was racist, but now I'm not. I read Roots.
Mm-mm.
Who you got? Offset or Chris Brown? Karen?
Offset.
73% of the audience agrees Offset. 27% says Chris Brown. Blue Wave Rider says, stop letting whack ass people come to the cookout. They're scaring away the real black folk. Y'all mess around, had a cookout looking like sunken place. Newly reformed racists will talk about how they will have voted for Obama for a third time. Fuck out of here. Well, you know what, Blue Wave Rider? You are just uninvited from the cookout, okay? Your ass ain't gonna get to be there now because you talking too much noise. You are making the white people too uncomfortable. I don't appreciate this shit, Blue Wave Rider.
He up in the corner loud and mad.
Yeah, you gonna have Michelle Rodriguez crying and shit because you can't control your emotions. Good grief.
Banking on the table over there playing spades.
Ralph Northam over here trying to do the moonwalk and you over here trying to read them for Phil. Alicia says, both of them are trash, but I had to vote. It would be for Offset because he from the A, and I love Cardi, and Chris Brown is a known woman abuser. Karrueche Tran, I feel like if Offset put his hands on Cardi, she would beat his ass. yeah, that's also funny though, because Alicia, just like 2 months ago, everybody was saying Offset was the abusive one, and who knows what he was doing to Cardi behind closed doors, and da 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 da. It's just funny how time flies on that. Now it's like, listen, Cardi will whoop his motherfucking ass if he put his hands on her, which is something that I really think Cardi would, knowing, like, seeing Cardi on Love & Hip Hop, there's nothing about Cardi that makes me think you're putting a finger on her without her whooping your motherfucking ass, or at least trying.
Oh, you gonna get the business.
Yeah, like, Rich Dollars are scared of Cardi. Like, I just don't, and that's what camera's on. I just can't see it, but... that being said, you never know. You know, people have one image for outside and maybe it's different inside, who knows. But anyway, all that being said, yeah, it's just funny how time flew on that, and how Offset's the hero here, but people was like, he's abusive and cheating is abuse, and he did it in public and he embarrassed her and da da da, and now it's like, no, Chris Brown is abusive, okay? That nigga abuser with a capital A. Tamika says, only reason I'm going with Chris is because once that crack kick in, he'll start dancing and Offset will get tired and go home.
Oh Lord.
Sade says, Chris is a whole lot of crazy. Haven't we learned not to underestimate him? And ditto, once the crack kicks in, it's a wrap. I've never heard crackheads can fight. I heard you can't catch them. I heard they can run away fast, but maybe they're good in a fight too. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know.
Offset yells in Offset. Offset! Raps in Drake. Shout out to all my boss bitches, wife and niggas. You about to get body by a singing nigga. That's too many Chris Brown jokes that can be made, so I'ma just say Chris got it. All right, it's funny he didn't win the poll. Maybe it's just about likability and people weren't being real. I don't know. I do feel like Chris Brown might fold up Offset if we being real. You know, I know it's not good to say that, you know, he would win because people don't like him, but just looking at the punch card, man, I don't know. Feel like Chris Brown got reach on Offset, got weight. You know, he's in very good shape to be able to dance like that. He's been hitting people for years. I don't know.
No.
I don't know. We got episode 1840, Homeless Hotel Hogwarts. Shaniqua C says, throw the whole Virginia away. I live in Virginia. Every day I find myself watching the news like Brenda from Scary Movie. I hope it all gets resolved soon, but in the meantime, I'm gonna keep enjoying y'all recap the bold and the blackface. Felix says, I was so excited for Fairfax to get in there, bruv. I can't believe how quickly he tanked this. Just fire all of them. Good grief. Yeah, he had rapes from way back too, so like, it wasn't even like I just didn't even feel like we can even celebrate him being like, I'm not standing for Robert E. Lee now, because it's like, damn, you was a whole rapist, homie.
Right.
Allegedly. Classic R&B lover says, hey, dear Rod and Karen, you need to stop slandering Dr. Umar. How can you question the legitimacy of his quest to educate the future hoteps of America at the expense of the black woman just because his school looks like a bombed out shelter that he doesn't have the keys for? Rod, I bid knew you was a savage when you did that Kit Kat mess, but today Queen Karen reveals she is likely the white man's bed wench because her laughter at this black king and his efforts were painful. Dr. Umar is foregoing GoFundMe, PayPal, etc., because those are industries run by the white devils, unlike the banks that the checks and the money orders will be made on.
Right.
He's trying to maximize your black dollars, so put some respect on his name and stop doing the white man's work by fighting him. Dr. Umar got his alkaloids correct, and I suggest you Negroes get your alkaloids in line too. Don't you ever question his efforts again. So says a person who wouldn't even give him a penny to put in the gum machine as I stood there and watched. I hear you, classic R&B lover. Maybe we was looking at this backwards. I mean, maybe he got it figured out. You know, he gonna take everybody on a tour of his different buildings, the Marcus building and the Garvey building. And
why they doing yoga?
Take us by the truth, Barry, because he won't be having a library, because that's filled with the white man's lies.
Mm-mm.
He gonna have a truth, Barry.
Can't take him home.
Okay, it's gonna tell nothing but the black righteous truth. KZ Cologne says, yo, That video by Umar was outrageous. Let's talk about how he almost hit his head on the exit sign. He might be a smooth 5'10". You didn't take the goddamn trash out. You couldn't move the spare chairs out the frame. Well, listen, it's only so much time before the police show up and try to trespass.
Come on, he had a smooth 15 minutes. Yeah, get up out of there.
You couldn't move the spare chairs out of the frame of the iPhone 6. You give him a lot of credit to iPhone 6. I think that had HD. Hey, you look kind of ashy to me. I don't know. What y'all think? Why is it this school just a school for boys? But the first images were of young girls. I did not understand that. And then it's like, women gonna be here doing yoga. The sisters gonna be doing yoga.
That's the only time you're gonna see them. I don't understand this.
They won't be able to be educated on campus and learn anything. Mm-mm. We're gonna put Orisha shrines up. Not that we gonna want any little girls to look up to them. It's gonna be number boys. Wasn't this the same man that said that girls were forced to wear their natural hair at his school back in 2016? Where did the money go?
Back to the people, because GoFundMe said you can't put this money in the whole pattern.
That's the thing for me that's so scary, is that there were people who gave money who expected to get a school, like a finished school. They weren't promised, we're going to buy a building and then we'll need some more money. They were promised a school. It's like, I don't know how people don't see through this shit. You know he bought the building on discount using the devil's government stipends. I need to see the deed on that. I'm not sure he bought the building. This is why hotels won't prosper. My God. Yeah, I'm gonna need to see the receipts before I say he even bought it. EVE says those grown ass men sliding into Little Miss Flint's DMs know exactly what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Some will feign innocence, but there's no reason for a grown ass man to address little girls. They know exactly how old she is too. It's just weird and gross. Men are trash. Yeah, there was no excuse for any of those guys. And I don't care if it was just, hey, beautiful, or hey, how you doing? She's a little girl. You're weird and a creep. Speaking of trash, Umar Johnson knows good and goddamn well that school is never happening. You would probably be better off building that school from scratch than trying to bring that disaster up to code. That looks like a school in an abandoned town where kids go to throw raves at night. I bet that property is owned by the bank and he had to borrow the key from his friend who works at said bank to get in and film that video.
Mm-hmm, or the janitor.
I just know he ain't closed none of them doors. And that reeked of, I don't have the key to get in and out.
Yeah, that door shut, nigga. We locked in here, out of here.
Any fool who donates to this school deserves to be conned. Well, that's the other side of it, ain't it?
Correct.
The poll was an easy one. Do you think Dr. Umar really bought that school? Yes or no?
No.
Karen, 97% of the audience is with you and says no.
Mm-mm. Ain't nothing in his name. Ain't no loan been made. Nothing.
I want to know who the 3% of y'all that said yes are.
Did y'all send him a check?
Who are y'all? I know we cross over some audience with everybody, but man, I did not think. Oh man, wow.
I mean, did he hear about this poll? I don't understand.
He voted and then the cameraman voted. Tamika says, bet all the copper piping is missing out of that place now.
You know what it is.
And he took it and sold it. Sade says, maybe a lease, but I don't know about that one. CT says he did buy the school, but that wasn't said. What wasn't said was he bought it in a floor closure because it was about to be condemned by the government, so it cost him $45,000 after taxes. But then he needed to go on vacation for a few months, so to the tropics, take his alabaster queen to Jamaica to introduce her to the motherland, and met some white queens in the land of blacks. That nigga is ridiculous. I hate him. Is this true, or did you make all that up?
I don't know.
He got a white queen? That can't. You know, I was going to say that can't be true, but I don't know. I don't know with these niggas. Like, we had that dude, Boyce Watkins, talking shit about Kamala Harris for marrying a white man. And then someone brought up that his daughter is married to a white man. And I'm like, Boyce, what are you doing? Is your daughter a bed wench too? Or
right.
Who knows with you niggas? Dad says one word, asbestos. Asbestos.
You know it. You're gonna be sick.
Mm-mm-mm. Blackface Male was the episode after that, 1841. We had two comments on it. And they were Mako MH says, I just realized that you guys do the worst/best puns when someone has died. We're all terrible. Keep them coming, please. Yeah, they are pretty bad.
Yep.
That's why I tell people, stop acting like this is a safe space and shit, because you could easily make the argument that it's fucked up that we laughing at that shit.
Yes.
I'll never forget. EVE says, Cardi's win just highlighted how the internet has magnified mob behaviors. Things people would never say to someone's face, they feel comfortable typing anonymously and think there are no consequences. That intern who posted about Nikki lost her job and got doxxed by the Barbs, and for nothing more than a quick laugh from a bunch of people who don't give a shit about her.
Right.
The way and that's the other thing, dog. I don't even mean this in a mean way, but even the motherfuckers that act like they care after the fact don't really care.
No, they don't.
Like it's just a shame that y'all did this. They just don't like Nikki. Cause they have participated in doxing the other motherfuckers that they don't like. You know, like when the white people, like, you know, South Park Susan does some shit, it's like, hey, dox this bitch. Make her lose her job. Where she stay? Everybody likes the gun when it's in their hand. Nobody thinks it's fun when the rabbit got the gun though.
Mm-mm.
The way trolls go after celebrities online is the very reason I don't stay on the internet that much. It's crazy how people care so much about the opinions of strangers. Yeah, it's a lot, man. Like I said, I had to cut back on my shit too, cause it was, I know I was becoming engrossed in that world, and I was starting to give people more room in my life and in my brain than they deserved. Will Northam be a better ally now, or should he still resign? Resign now, nigga! Or stay and be a better ally. Karen?
Stay and be a better ally.
56% of our audience agrees with you. That is a close one. 44% thinks he should resign anyway. Alicia says, regarding the Northam Blackface Tour, is that what we call it? They gonna have him dabbing. It's gonna be a bunch of hotels in the audience telling him how our kids need to be educated on the various hotel sciences. Yes, that agronomics. And my crackhead auntie that always finds her way to the mic every family reunion will be there giving a 45-minute testimony ending with a gospel song. That she just made up.
Come on.
Speaking of crackhead testimonies, have y'all seen that video where the lady was giving a testimony in church talking about all the penises and balls she was sucking, and the pastor snatched the mic before she could say anything else? Hilarious. I have not seen that. That sounds hilarious. Send it to me. Irredeemable. Thank you. Next, says Dash. So he's ready to move on. I feel you. And lastly, it was 1842, a gut full of Sadiq. Or should we say Sadiq? We had four comments. No comments on the poll. Fireworks says, my favorite recap is back. I'm still rocking with y'all. I don't care what the Nielsen numbers say. Happy the Walking Dead is back. I got a few questions and comments though. The mid-season break had no time jump, but we come back and see things happen and no explanation. Or maybe I just forgot over the holiday period. One, when did Alden start chopping Enid's cake? Oh yeah, they brought that up last episode. That's the reason that Henry is in jail. Remember, he got drunk after seeing that they kissed.
Yep.
Two, where is Maggie and Glenn's child? Did she take him with her?
Yeah, Maggie took the baby with her over to the fake Hillary Clinton island.
Yep. Herschel went with her. Three, I love the scenes between Negan and Judith. My favorite scene was her warning him about cussing, that then calling him an asshole. I agree with Karen. Negan needed to see the aftermath of the war for himself. He needed a breath of fresh air from that jail cell. Judith knew he was coming back. Four, no name chick made a strong point. Places, communities, four walls don't last. Just look at all the places we've had been from Atlanta to Alexandria. Even in recent seasons, Sanctuary gone, Junkyard gone. I also feel the Sally Jesse lady might be the leader of the Whisperers, unless they scrap that storyline or I'm missing something. I'm out. Fireworks.
I don't think they're the same.
I think that's a completely different community.
Yep.
And then the thing I will say though, you say four walls don't last, but Hilltop and Alexandria weathered the storm. Right? Kingdom did. I mean, maybe things are changing. It's just not every place. Anonymous says, my favorite recap is, oh wait, okay, so he accidentally left two comments and one was anonymous. All right. EVE says, I'm so confused. I thought Rosita was with Gabriel. There was no hint whatsoever that Sadiq and her were together until that scene when she figured out she was pregnant. I feel like the handsome savior's day is a number if he's out there with Eugene, because apparently Eugene still ain't shit. Well, he's not out there with Eugene. He's out there with the music teacher dude whose name,
Luke.
Yes, who's out there with Luke. I don't know. They said, Magna said Luke is a survivor. So I will see what that means. Last time he was talking about surviving and saving instruments and music gonna save us in the Holocaust. So nigga, I don't know. I mean, apocalypse. So I say Holocaust. Anyway, and then the last thing was, you brought up, Rosita with Sadiq. I mean, that's the thing. I don't think you gotta remember, 6 years passed.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think Rosita just started getting with Gabe, and Gabe was kind of acting like it was new. You know,
yeah, like that relationship was brand new.
Yeah, right? I mean, shit, last time we seen Gabe, he fucked Jada. So I don't think a hot piece of ace like Sadiq is sitting around on the shelf and nobody coming to tap that. And I think Rosita seen the same thing the rest of us seen with our human eyes and was like, I'm gonna go ahead and knock this off. And then things got serious with her and Gabe, and she, you know, later, and then
right, she decided probably to stop with him, not realizing that she was pregnant at the time.
Yeah, it didn't sound like it was cheating or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Just sound like, you know, in the Z-Pac, you know, you gotta get the dick where the dick is good. Classic R&B lover says, hello Rod and Karen, I enjoyed the Walking Dead recap. Hearing you drink your wine and eat your brie, I thought I'd suggest the following. All right, sound like some work for us. Let's see. If there's a bakery near you where you can get fresh sourdough bread, try toasting the bread light and spreading the brie on it. If you like that, get an heirloom tomato and slice it on top of the brie on your toasted sourdough. Also, there are many different kinds of brie, some extra creamy, some more intense. Yeah, we got the intense imported kind.
Mm-hmm.
It was all right. I'm not gonna lie. I thought it was a little too,
I'm gonna say tough.
Tough.
It was tough to spread.
Yeah, it was very solid filling, you know, but that's the point of trying it. You know, you wanna try something different. If you get some that's basically imported from France, in case the one you had wasn't, it was, you're in for even more of a treat. Well, it was imported and it was tough, okay? Not my favorite brie, if I'm being honest with you guys. Should they kill the girl hostage from the Whispers? Yes or no? Karen?
No.
All right. 60% of the audience says no, they shouldn't kill her. 41% say kill her ass right now. But yeah, I think I'm on team don't kill her.
Right. And the thing is, you bob a good point. And if she dies, it definitely can't be at the hand of Daryl.
Yeah, I just also feel like it could be a this could be a chance for them to learn more about that group, and also if some of their people get taken, maybe you can do a hostage negotiation type of thing. She kept bringing up her mom being like in the group. We know the leader of the group, I think it was the zombie with the shotgun. So you know, maybe that's her mom. If so, maybe you got some leverage. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, plus you do cross that line where you don't want to be quote unquote one of them. So where our group is as bad as them. I think we've been there already before where it's like, we kill anybody. And I'm kind of tired of that, to be honest.
Correct.
I know a lot of people will tell you they will like that shit. I actually don't like the ocean side approach to shit where they just kill anybody looking at them and shit. I don't like that. All right, we got some voicemails. We'll see. I think one of them's a junk voicemail, so we'll see what we got here.
Mm-hmm. Like spam.
Yeah, 70. Oh wait, he was about to play.
Hi, I'm Karen. My name is Stephanie. I'm calling. Just a little blurb. I've been listening to the podcast on and off for the past say 4 years now. It really helps me get through my job. Like, I had a lot of jobs, but it's just doing it up on the computer and just processing it. But I'm just calling just to, I'm kind of late. This is after the review show, but this is from a conversation about the gig industry. I do have a office job, but just to make some extra money, I can do both DoorDash and Instacart on the side, and you know, I can, you know, attest personally that there was a time period where my earnings like dipped a lot. Like if I was to work maybe 20-25 hours a week, I could make $300-$400, and then all of a sudden around summertime they had this new, I can't say summertime, around late autumn, they had this new earnings system, and my earnings for the same amount of hours became much lower, from like $300 to like $180-$200. And then every now and then, if I got a tip, maybe an extra $20-$25. And it looks like a lot of, like, I'm calling from Canada, so the structure is a little different here in terms of pay. But I know the shopper community with Instacart, they did rally and have a change petition, everything, and it happened to actually win, like just recently, they finally change the earning structure where you can actually make the money that you were supposed to make and actually get the tips without any extra deduction. Because at the point in time, like, I would be doing a 30-item batch, which is a pretty big order.
She got cut off and she didn't leave another message, I don't think. But, yeah, I mean, that's what we talked about, that basically she was bringing up, I don't know if y'all can hear her as well, but she was bringing up that she's done DoorDash and stuff, as a side gig, and they changed the earning structures and she went from earning like $300 in a week to 180.
Right.
And I mean, that three, we're talking about, you know, for some people, man, that's rent. You know, cause wages have stagnated. Price rent has gone sky high on folks.
Everything going up but your base pay.
Right. And then you have to turn around and deal with this, and then you got, you know, them changing the earning structure to be like, well, actually not even that money.
Right.
You can't even have that.
Right. So you are technically not paying me. You, if you promise me $10 an hour, I need $10 an hour. You can't be like, well, we're gonna take these tips and supplement your $10, but then I'm not making $10 an hour.
Like, we got a call on Wednesday. Let's see what this is.
Wide, such as Cigna, Blue Cross.
Okay, that appears to be just a spam call.
Just a spam.
All right, the spam report. That's what we're going to call the show from now. We have emails to get to. Let's see what we got here. We got a review from outside the United States from Canada. And it's best thing going today, 5 stars by Mike S7506, who says, from the T dot, big fan, keep up the great work. And one question, why are you still living in a racist country like America? It's a good question, buddy. I don't know. I don't know, because I'm from here, I guess.
Right.
I'm going to change it from the inside like Kamala Harris. All right. Let's see, we got any other review things? No. All right, let's go to y'all's emails and see what else we got. Kiana says, just a quick note. Hey y'all, I haven't written in a while. Let me move this over. Haven't written in a while. In fact, I'm severely behind on podcasts. Work has been crazy. But I noticed something tonight while I was listening. There was a podcast where someone wrote in and asked if anyone had seen or heard from Really Dark Knight. A few podcasts later, he wrote in and said that he had been laying low because of losing his daughter. This really stood out to me. Whether intentionally or not, you guys have created a community. I've said it before and I will say it again. That's a gift. My heart goes out to Really Dark Knight, and I hope he is well or finding his way back to well. Love y'all much. Kiana. thank you
baby.
Yeah, and same to him. I see him on Twitter sometimes and stuff, but you know, I can't imagine what he's going through. But I am glad we have the kind of place where people do, you know, kind of notice and check in on folks like that.
Right.
Jay writes in, sending this email because I couldn't find anywhere to comment on episode 1840 Homeless Hotel Hogwarts on the website. Maybe it's just my phone. Anyway, it seemed to me Dr. Umar used a basic camera, because if he shot that shit in HD, people would actually see the bullshit he's selling. Ah!
Come on.
That's hilarious. Let's see. Nathan writes in, a very long email about e-cigarettes. Because I think we made a reference to or jokes about how e-cigarettes aren't really safe either. Like one Juul pod contains 20 times as much nicotine and shit like that as a cigarette. Anyway, this is too long. You might just want to skip it. Totally understand. I won't be offended. Didn't mean to get on the platform. I'm sorry. So first of all, I'm going to need to get my hands on some good wine. I'm actually developing a wine palate now. Used to only be able to drink Moscato and Riesling. I have a massive sweet tooth. Just FYI, and not sweet wine in the past has been far too bitter for me. But I'm starting to like other white wines, still working on red wine. Not quite there yet. I need to check out Triangle Wine Co. Also, first, if you've been harassed by anyone in the e-cig/vaping community over your questions about how addictive they are compared to analog cigarettes, I truly apologize. Many of us can be a bit absurd about e-cigs. I did want to say this, though, is that's okay. I realize this is the kind of well actually and will 100% take that L, but e-cigs are not actually considered more addictive than analog cigarettes, because in short, they are way less ingredients in e-cigs. Analog cigs actually have 599 ingredients added to them. This is not counting what's breathed in when smoking one. e-cigs, and these for the link for the ingredients. E-cigs, on the other hand, have somewhere between 3 and 4 ingredients: propylene, glycol, vegetable glycerin, nicotine, and flavoring. And those ingredients are actually optional. Now, granted, flavoring is a nebulous term, but most good quality flavorings are basically natural extracts, which can be maybe 3 ingredients at most in them, which at most means e-cigs have 7 ingredients in them, depending on the flavoring. Both the glycol and the glycerin are food safe. While it's true that glycol is found in antifreeze, it's also found in asthma inhalers and indeed considered safe for inhalation by the FDA and the medical community, and neither are addictive at all. A lot of the chemicals used in e-cigs flavoring in the early days are no longer used because the community basically said we want more natural flavors. So that's what happened. Nicotine itself is not actually as addictive as people think. It is very addictive, but cigarettes are actually far more so because of the other chemicals added to them. For what it's worth, in the UK, e-cigs are medical devices and smokers are encouraged to switch. Public Health England considers e-cigs to be 95% safer than smoking. It might be safer than smoking. I don't know. It's just, I don't know. Like I said, I'm not a doctor on this shit, but I do watch the Truth ads that come on Adult Swim, and they be like, don't do this shit either. And the Royal College of Physicians say that e-cigs might even prevent all the harms caused by smoking. Personally, I gave up both cigarettes and later nicotine itself using e-cigs. I don't even use e-cigs really anymore. I mean, not for nicotine anyway. Hashtag legalize it. That's not to say e-cigs are safe or healthy. If you don't smoke, you really shouldn't vape. But the tech is too new for any really in-depth long-term studies. So who knows what horrible shit they'll find in 10 years. Yeah, see, that's the thing for me that, like, I feel your point you're making, and it's very nuanced and it's important. But, man, they said all this shit about cigarettes.
Yeah, they used to tell people cigarettes are fucking safe.
They used to say it made you healthier.
Right.
Like, they'll lie to you. And I don't think e-cigs are any different. I mean, some of this shit is by the same companies and all that shit. So, I just don't trust them motherfuckers. And I do expect us in 10 years to be like, these things was even worse than people promoted them to be.
Right.
Because the people selling you never gonna tell you how fucked up they can be. The government had to make them put warning labels on the shit in the United States because they weren't gonna ever tell us. Like, the government had to be like, you need to tell people. And by then it's too late, because if I'm addicted to your shit, I can't stop. And the fact that something can be that addictive that you can put a label on it and be like, hey, this shit is gonna kill you, and people still can't quit, that's scary to me. So to then even say like nicotine is still in this other shit, that might be enough that I can't quit, so I'll never start. And I don't know what the hell Juul is doing and why they have so much trouble with kids using this shit. That's not okay. Yeah, that's the thing, they promote these flavors and shit that appeal to kids.
Correct.
So they now found a way to kind of appeal to younger smokers and get them addicted earlier.
Right, because we also have a generation now, not trying to be funny, who don't smoke cigarettes. So they was like, this is a kind of, not trying to be funny, for a lot of, from a business perspective, this is an alternative to get you on it. And they've done studies that say a lot of people that start these e-cigarettes eventually turn to cigarettes.
Yep. And he goes on to say, but overall, personally, I'd rather be the world be full of e-cig users than smokers, if for no other reason than it'll smell a hell of a lot better. Anyways,
it does smell better, I ain't not gonna lie.
I apologize, I won't email again about this, and that's a promise. I just wanted to clear it up, but I understand if you ignore it. Nah, man, we read it. It's all good. Let me go ahead and pause this. All right, let's get to the next email. This is from Charnel, who says, she ain't got a dance, she make Grammy moves. In episode 1841, when you mention Cardi B, all of that is correct. Another angle people hate to admit is that even the most anti-respectability black people place respectability politics on Cardi one way or another. Either they are fans and do gymnastic level stretches to make her art academic, or they are haters that hate the fact that she is a woman that doesn't perform academically woke music, wears what most people would call provocative clothing, and doesn't speak English that white supremacy told us needed to be respectable. Let's not forget those people who don't understand the diaspora deny her blackness, but that could be a whole other email. Psh, I've seen that before. I hate those motherfuckers. I saw a lot of people roasting her because how dare a former stripper win best album of the year and sell more records than Queen Lauryn Hill, who by most people's standards would be considered unsavory, similar to Erykah Badu, but gets a pass because she performs respectable woke art. Yeah, I've seen, it's so wild because I've seen I didn't think I would see it in, you know, so fast, but a lot of people have turned on Lauryn Hill, not just because of the late the concert shit, but like they just turned on her and are like her, all of her art was always like trash and right, she just and a pick me and all this shit.
Well, that's not true. That pick is back to the beginning of the podcast where we talked about it, how people have this revisionist history and y'all try to act like that shit not a bop, wasn't a bop at the time and right. Fucking everywhere.
Also, like, upon further review of that album, I don't think it's as distasteful as people try to make it now. You know, like, I think her album it has some moments where, of course, you're like, oh man, that's some respectability shit you just tried to put on people. But the whole album's not like that. Mm-mm. It's like, it's essentially that one song, I think it was Lost Ones, where she was talking that way. About advising men and women on how to deal with each other in relationships. That was the one. The rest of the album is kind of like her story, you know, her raising her kid that people told her to abort and how she grew up and what she thinks about love and shit like that. And I think people are more upset by the fact that in that one song she would pose herself as someone to give advice about relationships while, you know, being involved with a married man while, you know, before making that album or whatever. There's also the fact that many people, including millennials themselves, shit on millennials and millennial culture. A lot of people are angry at her fans for supporting her and were doing generational bashing. I do wish that people would stop shitting on Cardi because it seems like she has to remove her Twitter every other week. I know. Yeah, the other thing too though is people start turning to these like quote unquote hip hop purists with the fucking like, her album shouldn't have won, it wasn't the best rap album. Like, it's the Grammys.
Right, it's when the is Grammys.
When is the best win? Like, y'all niggas don't be mad every year like this. On the Macklemore front, I'm not gonna lie, I'd be considered trash by most woke people because although it was a little corny, Thrift Shop was my motherfucking jam. You know what? It was though, cause it was in every trailer. I don't even listen to Macklemore and I know that song just because it's, I'm gonna have some kind, I got $9 in my pocket.
It was everywhere.
Like, that shit was everywhere. Every fucking, I swear, it was like every goddamn movie trailer that summer was just, you could hear that beat come on. It didn't matter. It was like, coming soon. Black Panther, I'm gonna have some time.
Come on!
The Thurgood Marshall movie, I'm gonna pop some tags, I got $10 in my pocket. Thrift Shop was my motherfucking jam. Oh well, he also had that, didn't he make that the joint was like, the ceiling can't hold us, did he make that song? Because that joint was a bop too,
right? And it was everywhere.
I put that on my list on Spotify, or title of my, I have a playlist called Niggas Singing Way Too Hard, and that chorus is 100% niggas singing way too hard. The ceiling can't hold us. Ceiling can't hold us. Like, okay, well, calm down.
Nice. Knock that down a few octaves.
While I think Kendrick should have won that year, I think that's more of a statement on the Grammy nominations and society than on him. I understand maybe not liking his music, and to some extent, you could argue how problematic it was for him to shine in this traditionally black space again. Yeah, it's not really a traditionally black space at the Grammys, bro. I think that is something that is due to the systems we're in more than an individual person. There are more harmful, problematic white people that don't realize and weaponize their privilege to take up space on purpose that I think we should be pointing that conversation at now. And she also says, addendum, I meant to mention that many, including me before, I realize how stupid that respectability shit is, treated Nicki Minaj the same way she became the same way that she acts now that she became a veteran in her career. I think it's doubly upsetting that she treated a newcomer the same way she was treated. That's a great point. I appreciate the honesty there, because I do feel like people have been revising their histories on this shit. Like, no, it was people that I still remember people being like, oh, she just got a fake ass and she just
they were joking her.
Yeah, she just raps about her pussy and all this shit. And it was like, when Cardi did it, it's revolutionary. When Nicki did it, it was some bullshit. Like, it's a lot of this shit is just about favorites, musical opinions, a lot of subjective, like, I just like this person, so therefore everything they do is dope. And
correct,
you know, people don't want to admit that shit for some reason because they think they're gonna lose like standing. But like, that's all of us. We should all have that commonality. We should all be able to share that. The Macklemore thing for me, man, I just never really fucked with him like that. So I was never like close enough to him to be offended or not offended on people's behalf. I've never really had any interactions with him.
Mm-mm.
I understand that there are people that, you know, don't like him or feel like it's all performative or he's like not as good an ally as he tries to be. But I would chalk that up to the limitations of being a white man. Like, he probably a good example of a white man trying to do better, but he's still a white man, so he's not gonna get it right all the time. And that is what it is. You know, he seemed like he trying. I remember on the show, man, I didn't have a problem with him sending that message, that text to Kendrick.
Mm-mm.
You know, and even with him publicizing the text, because y'all were on his ass.
Yeah, people forget about that. Yes, y'all, niggas was mad.
They try to act like they weren't in this dude's mentions before he said this, like, hey guys, I know I shouldn't have won, he got robbed, I'm sorry. And they like, oh, so you gonna send the text so you could get, you should have threw the Grammy back in the crowd. I'm like, niggas, shut the fuck up. You know what I mean? He, like, what the fuck was he supposed to do? Pull his dick out? Like, he worked hard on his album as well. I'm sure he was happy to be honored. And at the same time, he probably felt horrible because he's the kind of white person that does understand that, you know, Kendrick is better than him at this rap shit and his album meant more to the culture and the black people at the time. You know? And it's all finicky bullshit anyway, because if Kendrick would have won, them same motherfuckers mad at Macklemore would have found a way that Kendrick shouldn't have won. I would bet money on it. They would have been like, oh, so y'all act like y'all like him, but can't nobody understand. I've seen people do the, can we act like, is it time where we can finally say the Pimp a Butterfly wasn't good and shit? I've seen y'all. Nigga. Ugh. People. What's wrong with them?
Correct.
We got this one from O'Neal, who says, Rod and Karen, I love y'all so much. Everything that y'all do for me, you guys make me love my blackness in a world where it's constantly questioned. I'm biracial and I live in New Orleans, where people mistake me for Creole or white. Thank you for making me feel included. Hey, glad you can listen. Glad, honey, you find a space.
Your blackness is your blackness. People kill me when they try to put a definition or define what blackness is. If you are black, you consider yourself black. That's your black experience, period. And can't nobody take it or steal it away from you.
Cheryl says, a gut full of Sadiq. Hey guys, welcome back and thank you for an awesome recap of The Walking Dead. Can't wait to hear you guys recap of This Is Us. Keep up the good work. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. That's him and Basse.
Yeah. And I'll actually go back, my bad, on that last thing Karen was talking about with blackness and shit. There are some black people that really do get off on kicking motherfuckers out of blackness and telling you how, like, they are so much woker than you and better than you. It's not us.
That's their brand.
Like, I try to make it, and it's sometimes to our detriment, but I try to make it a place where it's like motherfuckers is on different paths in their journey, different parts of their journey, and hopefully everybody can come and have a little bit of communal, like, laughs and shit and come together and listen to us and hang out, and people form their camaraderie that way. And some people, you know, they won't fuck with us, they won't like what we do, and that's fine too. But
yes, it is.
You know, and like I said, it's come to bite us too. There's been people where I'm like, this person is a person that is, I've only allowed around me because they're a black person, and mm-hmm. I know that if they were not black, I would be like, stay the fuck away from me, everything about you seems fucked up. You know what I mean? But because of what we do and because of the attitude I try to have and that we try to have, it's, you know, it's like, come hang out, grab a cup of, you know, grab you a drink and hang out with us. You know what I mean? So, I understand that, you know, there's people that come in and find like a home or a space or a place where they think we will be spending all day talking about, like, you know, I don't know, these trap brunch niggas, you know, and all the shit that people do that I think is so performative and stupid.
Yes, I actually want trap brunch here. Right. I've been looking for it, but I digress.
I hate that these motherfuckers made me want that. It don't even exist, but it sounds so delicious. Anyway, the fact is though, we try to make it so that it's not just about us shitting on every other kind of black person we aren't, and they can't be black, you know. Like, if you're not like destructive to the race or something, I don't have a problem with you, and hopefully we can all learn from each other and shit. Anyway, plus there's just not enough empathy for black people in America, period.
Come on.
And I don't want to be a part of that problem. Like, I understand you can't be friends with everybody and not everybody can be around you and in your space, and like a lot of motherfuckers is like antithetical to the shit that I believe, and that's why we wouldn't be able to kick it. But in general, I at least try to have some level of empathy and understanding for how they got there and where they're coming from.
Correct. And at no time do I disqualify you from your blackness or strip away or take your blackness away from you. That's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, you can be a straight up sellout coon and you still black.
Yes, you are.
Like, you're not, it's not like you become less black now. Like, you just black and you whack.
That's all that means. And there are a lot of whack black people in the world. I don't know why black people think that we got it all together. We a group of people just like any other group of people.
Mary Rice said, feedback for Medium Talk 38 and 39. If it's not too late, it's never too late. Woo-hoo! Mary says, hey y'all, just wanted to drop a line and say I really enjoyed the Medium Talk episodes. The last two with Feminista Jones and Lewis Reed were really different from each other, and as an interviewer, your skills shone through in being able to adapt and get the most out of your guests. Thank mm-hmm. you. I feel like all my last Medium Talks have been completely fucking, I don't know if any of them are the same. Because it really just depends on the guest and what they talking about.
Right.
You know, and I've got to meet and talk to some really interesting people. And I actually have another one. Damn, you just reminded me. I have another one that I just haven't edited and put together that is about the fraternity sorority experience. And that was fun. And that's also completely different from these. So, like, it's just, yeah, but thank you for noticing it, and I appreciate you. I especially enjoy hearing that Feminista Jones was once Queen Hotep. Who knew? Keep up the good work and hope more are coming. Yeah, it's funny. I was like, you was Hotep or Sister Jones? Like, that, like, that's crazy because nobody would see that coming. But I think, like, the allure of that stuff and also the, prominence of that type of thinking has been understated now. Like, that's one of the reasons that people understand how dangerous that shit is, because a lot of us have seen it before you get on Twitter and shit, yeah. And you're like, yo, this is really bad and can go to some really bad places.
Yes, and it's very intoxicating. And the thing is, a lot of people were fed a lot of Hotep shit as a child, but you wouldn't have called it that, but technically that's what it was. And then one day you was like, hey, this shit is problematic.
And lastly, in the mail, we have a post box. You can find the address, theblackouttips.com/about, and our mailing address is there. We got something in the mail from Detroit, retiree Sims, which was so dope. They actually sent us that lunchbox that we talked about on the show.
Yes, from Detroit, right?
Yeah, the shoebox lunch, history in a box.
Yes, thank you, baby.
Yep, beans and cornbread is the box that we were sent. And you open it up and it's got George C. Wallace, Segregation Now, Segregation Tomorrow, Segregation Forever was one of the most vehement rallying cries for segregationists such as former Alabama Governor George C. Wallace. Louisa, civil rights activist Viola Louisa helped to coordinate the Selma Montgomery marches in 1965. Driving back from shuttling fellow activists to the airport, she was shot dead by members of the Ku Klux Klan.
Wow.
History in the box. Until 1965, Jim Crow laws made travel extremely difficult and dangerous for black people in the South. They were refused service in the restaurants, rest areas, and on public transportation such as buses and trains. In order to nourish black travelers in the South, women prepared meals packed in old shoe boxes. And they have no colors allowed, restrooms white colored. These kind family members, church attendees, and businesswomen made lunches that boiled eggs, pound cake, fruit sandwiches, and almost always fried chicken. Freedom riders, civil rights activists who challenged the non-enforcement of the U.S. Supreme Court decision, which ruled that segregated public buses were unconstitutional. And then in the front, all these facts, Katherine Johnson was known as a human calculator for her precision with mathematics. In 1961, as a NASA engineer, she calculated how to safely land John Glenn and his fellow Apollo 11 crew members. In 2015, Johnson was honored with the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Satchel Paige, after attracting record crowds as a Negro League baseball star, Satchel Paige, at 42 years of age, made his major league debut in 1948 with the Cleveland Indians. Paige won championships in both leagues. Ruby Bridges was the first African-American student to desegregate an all-white school in Louisiana in 1960. Bridges and her mother were escorted to a school by four federal marshals during the first year. Bridges attended William France Elementary School.
Fucking elementary school, and I'm I'm supposed to care about your racist family members,
right? Yeah, for all I know, your granddaddy was telling her not to go in there. The Green Book, Martin Luther King, Negro Motorist book. On the other side, they got James Baldwin. James Baldwin was a prolific writer and political activist during the Civil Rights era. His celebrated novels include Go Tell It on the Mountain in 1953, as well as The Fire Next Time, which vividly describes the difficulties of black urban life. Oh my God, it's so much. Megar Evers was a World War II veteran who was denied his right to vote in Mississippi as a field secretary for the NAACP in Mississippi. He worked to overturn segregation and enforce voting rights. In 1963, he was assassinated by a member of the pro-segregation group. Evers was buried with full military honors in Arlington National Cemetery. And lastly, Bessie Coleman. Since African Americans and women had no flight school opportunities in the United States, Bessie Coleman saved up money to go to France to become an international licensed pilot in 1921. After becoming a successful air show pilot, Coleman died while testing her new aircraft in 1926. Never
wow.
heard of her.
Wow.
Yep.
And there was a message in there.
And also there's a message in there, guys. Dear Rod and Karen, I listen to your show almost every day. I enjoy it very much. Last week's show, you mentioned the restaurant Beans and Cornbread and the shoebox lunch menu items. You requested one, so ask and you will receive. Of course, we ate the food, which is very good, but I'm pretty sure you guys have nice southern cooking down there anyway. We do. You can customize what food you want, put in the shoebox when you order. I selected the Harlem burrito, collard greens, diced tomatoes, black eyed peas, and rice rolled in a grilled flour tortilla served with Spanish Harlem salsa.
That sounds flames.
Back to Detroit. And with sweet potato fries and cornbread, I did enclose a picture of the food. Hope you enjoy the box. Keep up the good work. Yours truly, Detroit retiree Sims. And this is a picture of the food.
Aww.
Thank you so much, man. Our fans are so dope, man. That's so nice of you to send that.
Yes,
like, you didn't have to do that.
That's a keepsake. Thank you so much, baby.
And I thank you so much. Thank you all you guys for listening. We'll be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Our guests will be Mariano and Allegra. And we'll get back to our normal hijinks with the news and racism and gangs and stuff. So until then, I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah.